Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, I can't wait to pull coach in for this one, Rex. It's your favorite. It's a kicker.
Kickers are always my favorite.
Robbie Gould slips on the practice kick, and then he does this, and then he misses the kick.
Of course he does. God, I mean, Pat McAfee's the only kicker I like, and he was a punter. You know what I mean?
But that makes all the difference. That's the line of demarcation.
McAfee's not even a punter. He's just a guy, person punted.
I know. Look at this. And you know what's funny? I know this guy. All right? He was with us for a little bit for a cup of coffee in Baltimore. All right? Matched over, trained him, and so got in his head and ended up staying, you know, keeping the job. But this guy's a great kicker, and he really does that. How does it? You know, if you're looking at that, you're like, oh, my God.
Sometimes when you're playing for or against the Lions, you do some things that are uncharacteristic.
Oh,
okay?
He would know.
He was worried about his kneecaps, man.
Right, exactly.
He was worried about his kneecaps.
Because they were rightfully so.
Listen, when it comes to kickers, you have to ask yourself one question. Did it impact the game? And it did not. The Niners are
winning.
Thank goodness for Robbie Gould. Almost doesn't count, except for horseshoes and hand grenades. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. L. Duncan filling in for Greeny, who's taking his son to college today, along with Rex Ryan, of course, Ryan Clark, and Dan Orlovsky. Still ahead. Browns came so close to beating the Chiefs, but did Cleveland show enough that they could potentially beat KC coming up? Plus, Jameis Winston and the Saints put it on Aaron Rodgers. Should we relax, or are the issues in Green Bay a lot bigger than we thought? And the Steelers made the Bills pay on Sunday, but do any of our experts actually see Pittsburgh as a serious title contender in the AFC? Let's start with a very serious title contender, that being the Chiefs hosting the Browns. Patrick Mahomes never lost in September. The Browns, well, they can't ever win their season opener.
No,
it's just a thing
can't.
They don't do. But early on, Mahomes here, scrambling. Look at this play.
And I think this is his superpower. Everything is just so slow for him. Physically, he's unbelievable. But when he scrambles, it shows up even the most. Where everyone kind of moves in slow motion, he sets them and then cuts exactly the way. And you get man coverage for the Browns. You get that counter, seal, pull. It's an absolute truck delivery for Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb has a rushing touchdown in 7 straight games. I love that people always say, I could have. I could do that. How about this? Mahomes here to Travis Kelce.
A little hop release. You get the release on the outside to clear space. He sets the linebacker, runs away.
So the Chiefs are coming. It looked like the Browns were in firm control, but here they come. Baker Mayfield definitely in control here, connecting with David Njoku.
Run situation, run formation. We're going to go play action pass. Man coverage needs a perfect throw. Baker delivers.
Always nice to do this against your old team, too. Kareem Hunt for the touchdown.
Yeah, left side of that offensive line completely caves the defensive front.
So very first play of the Chiefs. Next drive.
$7,831,685,000 human beings in the world. Only one can make this throw. It just so happens to be Patrick Mahomes.
Unbelievable. 75-yard touchdown to Hill.
Hell, he's running full speed.
I know.
Completely across his body. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Don't do that.
It's not the talent. It's the arrogance.
Yes, to throw it. Absolutely. And we say that all the time. Here we go, Rex.
Here's my guy.
Your time to shine, Jamie Gillen.
L, what's he got to do? Get a haircut and catch the football. Give me a break, homeboy. You ain't so cool. Catch the ball. They punted once.
Yeah.
And this is what happened.
That's a great thing. And then this happened. Then this happened. You can't give them too many opportunities because Travis Kelce will make you pay. Much more on that coming up. But this is the Baker Mayfield play that's going to stick to his ribs. Yeah. Why, Dan?
L, I'm adamant that he's just trying to throw this ball out of bounds. The rush kind of forces him to move in a pocket.
Ooh, they're both saying no, Dan.
Yeah, because they're defensive dorks.
Yo, you are quarterback for standing up for your quarterback.
I've made that mistake.
Yes. He's standing right there.
And you don't realize you were trying to complete the ball also. That's what it is, Dano. Go kid yourself. We know.
Unreal. All right, give me your biggest takeaway from that game. We'll go Browns first, because I do want to get more into what we saw from the Chiefs, but the Browns lost.
But the Browns are a dang good football team.
Yeah.
And they had a quarterback that played good football yesterday. He made a mistake. But what I saw, and L mentioned it, about the fact that Patrick Mahomes hasn't lost in September. The Cleveland Browns haven't won an opener in 16 years, now 17. One team understands how to make winning plays in situational football moments, and one team is still learning. And so whereas the roster is good, there's not that belief there. The Kansas City Chiefs believe they're going to win every game at every second of that game until the clock gets to zero. I don't think the Cleveland Browns have that belief yet, but they have to get there.
Ryan, as a guy that's won Super Bowls and things, you reach a point where you have to win the big game. And when you do, you'll get over that hump.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they'll win over and over, like Kansas City has done.
Yeah.
Cleveland has yet to do that yet. And are they capable of beating anybody in this league? 100%
right.
They are. And they're every bit the team Kansas City is, yet they haven't learned to get over that.
Nope, they ain't every bit.
I don't remember
them numbers that Dan just read, the 7 billion, trillion, chameleon.
Well,
no.
They're not as good as that
chameleon.
Position.
You're not a chameleon.
That offensive line.
I know chameleon.
Oh,
I know
please.
A chameleonaire.
Nah, that's the difference between that roster, though. One quarterback rolls out, makes a huge play to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
The other quarterback gets his leg hit, throws an interception.
And I think that's the point is the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Browns were great, but the Chiefs are champions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get caught up into the triplets conversation much because I think offensive football has evolved. They got triplets that are as good as anybody in the history of football. I mean, Patrick Mahomes' connection with Travis Kelce is so special. His ability to understand windows and how his coach kind of uses motion to make windows either smaller than he wants them or bigger than he wants them is spectacular. And the Browns defensively never had an answer with Kelce or Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, this throw, there's only one person on planet Earth that makes it.
That's
as
true.
Great as Aaron Rodgers is and as great as Josh Allen is, they don't make that throw as consistently as Patrick Mahomes is, because the reality is I'm watching the game, and right when he makes the throw, the immediate thought was touchdown.
Right.
That's not normal.
Yeah. Right.
You know, when you usually see a quarterback make that throw, you go, uh-oh, or where's the coverage, or is this going to be a pick? When Patrick does it, because he's just got that ability to throw that.
It's branding, though. It's branding, right? You know how you build your brand?
Right.
You consistently do something.
Right.
We've consistently seen him make that play, consistently seen him be confident to throw that ball, but also we know Tyreek Hill is on the other end. And no matter if it's Johnson, Fitzpatrick, even if Tyron Matthew's out there, we expect Tyreek Hill to make that play because we've seen it so many times. I think that confidence is different. I've been on defenses that were that good. When you're that good on offense, you believe you'll make the plays to win.
We could sit here and fawn over Patrick Mahomes all day, and we tend to do that, but the biggest question mark surrounding this team was the offensive line and whether they would hold up. They spent most of their money and most of their focus this offseason. So what did you make of what you saw from the O-line? I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, amazing. You've got five new starters on that line.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Five new starters, mm-hmm. and they played that well against the team. Now, look, Jadeveon Clowney's at it or whatever, but you got Myles Garrett, who is absolutely a beast.
Yeah, monster.
And they hung in there with them.
Yeah.
They really did. Now, look, Orlando Brown got beat around the edge a couple of times. I get it. But for the most part, they hung in there.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. I thought the Browns would give them more fits up front.
And that's why Patrick's performance yesterday was very Tom Brady-like to me.
Okay.
You know, the new offensive line, the way I want to talk about his play was Patrick played patient with his decision-making, but urgent in the way he went about it. You watched him go, okay, you're going to play some soft coverage. You're going to rush me with those four guys. Catch and throw.
Okay.
Catch and throw. And we're going to get into a little bit what Josh Allen did it differently. Josh Allen played patient, but then he played slow. And if you just watched Patrick go, okay, I know you're not going to let me push the ball downfield, but I'm not going to go hitch, and allow that offensive line with Myles Garrett in the rush to get beat up. I'm going to go catch and throw. And the difference between the Chiefs and so many different teams is while the Chiefs are incredibly talented, they have the talent plus the coaching.
Yeah.
That the talent is so outrageous, but then it's elevated. Exactly.
I think the one thing that strikes me about the offensive line play and Patrick Mahomes was last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, he was sliding around and throwing footballs like my man that just slid from under this table.
Right.
And so anytime now you understand that I can make some adjustments as well to help out my offensive line. Listening to Dan, that's what I thought of. Patrick Mahomes also understood it's on me to protect myself.
Right.
And I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good point.
We certainly saw a Chiefs team that needed to shore that up. Maybe a question, though, of the skill position. They didn't add one. Yeah. They really only went to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. You have to wonder if they've got or will get any meaningful performances from anybody else. But alas, if it goes like it did yesterday, it doesn't really matter, right? Yeah. Coming up, things got super ugly for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers yesterday. Hear what he had to say after the game and find out why Green Bay may be in some serious trouble. Plus, the Steelers, damn, whipped his head around so crazy. Did I say something crazy? Huh? The Steelers' defense dominated and their offense made clutch plays, so why do our analysts still have doubts about Pittsburgh being a real contender?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's time to get up. Packers taking on the Saints. The debut for Jameis Winston in Jacksonville.
Get loose, famous.
They were displaced by Hurricane Ida. It doesn't matter who's under center. When it comes to the Saints, their best player remains Alvin Kamara.
I love it. Touchdown passes. You get that little jet motion flip to Kamara. Best
part of
offense.
You do.
Get him around the edge. An easy little three-yarder for Jameis.
83 rushing yards for Kamara here. Rodgers with play action. Nowhere to go and get sacked by Marcus Davenport.
It's a really great job by Davenport of putting his left hand up. That doesn't allow Rodgers to make that
matches
throw.
The right hand.
And then he sacks him. But I love Juwan Johnson right here. This is a beautiful job. He's supposed to go to the corner. It's not there. Let me sit up. And Jameis, give me a high ball to dunk on him.
Just throw it up there. Saints lead 17-0, and you're thinking at some point Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to figure this thing out, right? And then here comes Paulson to Debo. What a way to introduce yourself to the NFL.
Listen, this is a huge play. We were trying to figure out who the number two corner was going to be for the New Orleans Saints. The rookie gets the call, comes up with the huge play. He had help all day, but this was big time on Devontae Adams.
And he got Rodgers to do something he didn't do all season, turn it over in the red zone last year. Next Packers possession, Rodgers here. I mean, what's this?
It is a Hail Mary full of grace. Listen, Marcus Williams, he pushes right away. He understands the formation. There's no threat to his side. This guy makes a big play, but that's a terrible throw and decision by Aaron Rodgers.
Terrible. Plenty of time to throw and throws that up. Two interceptions, couple of ducks for Rodgers. And here, Winston to Chris Hogan. His third touchdown pass of the day,
Fresh
Dan.
Off of lacrosse,
I really love
or field hockey
PLL.
Or something.
I love the pocket presence, and this is something Jameis can do. Turn your back, hard ball play action, and you get Harris on a big ball over the top as the corner just sits just enough. If this is the Jameis Winston this offense gets.
Okay, Matt LaFleur, what happened on your side?
Got to give the Saints all the credit in the world. They came ready to play, absolutely embarrassed us today. And, yeah, it's very humbling, to say the least.
I mean, I'll let him use those words, and I'll use it's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game. We got 16 to go.
Okay. Are we going to overreact because of everything that happened between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Are we going to overreact and make more of this than what it is? Because the Packers have been known to lay an egg. They did it last year. In week six, they laid a fat egg against the Bucks, and we all know what went on to happen. So you're saying we're going to overreact.
I'm not overreacting. I'm reacting at the exact amount of reacting I need to be reacting with after you saw the way that they did not react well in week one against the New Orleans Saints. And I don't know why, like, Elle's on here, like, are
so
we going to overreact?
Reacting.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you guys are going to be all emotional because Aaron Rodgers was out with his actor friends, and he was hanging out in the jungle with jungle cats and all of these different people, and he was taking pictures. Just with his shirt off, and now he has a ponytail and RC, you're going to read more into it. I'm not. Aaron Rodgers wasn't with this team throughout the offseason. Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst were spending more time renting private jets or getting on private jets to go to California to convince him to play. And now you come out week one understanding how important this season is, not only for the Green Bay Packers, but to Aaron Rodgers, and you lay an egg like this against a team who's dealing with turmoil. This is a big deal.
Yeah, and it's our job to kind of analyze this situation. My mind goes back to last year. So last year, the year they drafted Jordan Love, right? It was the conversation all offseason. Aaron Rodgers had gone back to 2010, watched some tape, saw that some of the little things that he wasn't doing anything special. Then week one last year against the Minnesota Vikings, he was unbelievable. And I remember going on television the next day going, that's the best we've seen him look in 5 years. And there's a stark contrast to how this season started. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to react accordingly. But I will say this. This is probably one of the first times, if not the first time, that I've seen both Matt LaFleur get outcoached and Aaron Rodgers get outplayed since they've been together. And that is something to bear witness watching to see how it kind of plays itself out over the next month.
Let's mention the outplay part because, Coach, I am not going to talk about this matchup again and not show Jameis Winston.
Thank you.
Hey. I'm sorry.
We've been begging him.
He was embroiled in a quarterback competition with a guy that doesn't throw.
Thank you.
He had 14 of 20 passes, 5 touchdowns, 148 yards, ran for 39, and most importantly, 0 turnovers. What did you make of Jameis' debut?
Well, I'm pretty well connected in that building in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And everybody to a man says, this guy came in and humbled himself completely. Mm. Said, you know what? He was the first overall pick, all that, threw for 5,000 yards. He came in like, I'm a rookie. I'm going to learn how to play this position. And that is so amazing for this young man to do it. First overall pick for good reason, why he's super talented. But he came in, I'm going to learn under the best quarterback coach there is, Sean Payton. I'm going to learn under Drew Brees, one of the best that's ever done it. And he did it. And now he takes it out there to his game. All right, everybody said, well, he's a turnover waiting to happen. Really? He's also a 5,000-yard quarterback waiting to happen. Yep. He's a 30-touchdown quarterback waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And now he's going to fix this problem about not turning the football over. Yeah. And as impressed as I was with that, oh, by the way, 5-touchdown pass. No big deal, 150. 5-touchdown pass. I mean, that is unbelievable. But the thing I was blown away with the most, their defense, go ahead and say, of course I was, but their defense was unbelievable. They strapped them down. And if that team can do that, you know, to this Green Bay Packer team, then they can do it to anybody, and they're still the contenders they've always been.
It's interesting. I'm going to throw under the bus a little bit, Dan. At the meeting, we were all like, look at Jameis. Wow. Like, we were so impressed. And, you know, he was very like, meh. You went back and looked because we were so impressed. Where have you landed now that you've looked at the tape on Jameis' performance?
Yeah, after rewatching the game, Jameis was fantastic. And there's three plays that really stood out in my mind more than just the touchdown passes. Because it's stuff that we didn't necessarily see Jameis do. 2nd and 5. Nothing's open. Tuck it and run. We haven't seen Jameis Winston do that. He talked about the Batman stuff with Drew Brees. That's a first down. That's decision making. Mm-hmm. Here's another opportunity. Okay, nothing's there. I got to leave the pocket. Don't force the ball downfield. 3rd and 8. Just go make a play with your feet.
Yeah.
That's good decision making. And then this is getting number 4 in a progression. Play action pass. 1, 2, 3, 4. Check down. It's boring. It's not sexy. But starters do that. And I think that was the most impressive thing for me. And I want to give him credit. And the last point I'll say is this. The play that kind of I love to see is the touchdown pass to Harris, the bomb. The game was 31-3. He didn't need to make that throw. You know, so to be in the moment, to have played such a clean game, mentally to still go, I'm going to make the right play because it's the right play, was very impressive. So, my initial reaction was, meh. But after rewatching the tape, he played fantastic football.
He sort of played within himself. And I think we expect when it comes to Jameis for him to just air the ball, and he didn't do that. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say it definitely worked in this game. But one of the biggest criticisms we've had of the Saints lately, especially with Drew Brees under center, was the fact that they couldn't open up their explosive playmaking ability because he couldn't get the ball downfield. So is this a way to actually compete and win if Jameis is only asked to do this?
Well, I think that's the one thing we expected Jameis Winston to bring to this offense was an explosive nature in the pass game. Listen, we haven't seen a deep ball like that in New Orleans since Cash Money took over for the 99
and the 2000. Let's go.
And so look at this pass. It drops right in over the one, over the right shoulder for Harris. This is a huge play. This is something that now when you add to this team what they can do with Alvin Kamara, what we know the underneath passing game is, now you can get to the deep ball play action. This allows you to compete deep into the playoffs. The last few years, this defense has been championship caliber to me. The difference has been that Drew Brees wasn't as good late in the season as he was early because of some of the arm strength, because of some of the age. Now you have a young guy in Jameis Winston that if he can cut the turnovers out, now adds to the explosive nature of what they do.
Safe to say Saints fans are watching and saying, Jameis looks good once you back that thing up. It's time now for some Sunday superlatives.
I know you can't stand
Rex
it.
Rex gets it.
Bend it.
Oh, he knows it. Let's go, Dan. He's been studying. All right, let's
go with our
Sunday superlatives. Rex, what was your biggest disappointment from yesterday?
It's got to be the Green Bay Packers. Man, Aaron Rodgers couldn't find Black Beauty in a field of white mice yesterday against man coverage. And so to me, it was unbelievable. Their guys got strapped all day long, and to me, that was it. Look, he had a 4.3 quarterback rating. This is the reigning league MVP. Yeah. He looked terrible in this game, and so that was the biggest surprise for sure.
RC, what about you? What was your biggest surprise?
The Tennessee Titans offense, all offseason, we talked about Julio Jones. We talked about A.J. Brown. We all obviously know they have Derrick Henry. I was thinking that Ryan Tannehill has an opportunity to come out and be an MVP candidate, and you lay an egg. Chandler Jones, who's not even the toughest son in his entire household, has to come out and say, you know what? I ain't played really well. Thank you for exposing me. Yes. And when you have a game like this against the Arizona Cardinals to start a season, this is not good.
Dan, very good. You're way too early MVP favorite.
Man, the original Johnny Football. The original John Football, Matthew John Stafford. America got to see it on display last week. Hey, man, Matthew Stafford can't win. He's just a stat patter. He was 20 of 26 for 320 yards and 3 tutties, folks. And it's just the start. I'm going to call it right now. This is the early MVP favorite, and it's just going to get better.
Hey, guys, as now the co-host of Get Up and now reading the teleprompter, I'd like to say this is the first time our Friday predictions have been correct. Ryan Clark predicted that Dan Orlowski would come on here and say that his friend Matthew Stafford was the early
MVP. This guy knows football. He knows football.
Take me to Vegas.
They have taken over the show, Greeny. I am so sorry for what is happening to your beloved show while I'm here. Coming up, the Steelers' defense dominated and their offense made clutch plays. So why do our analysts still have doubts about Pittsburgh being a real contender? But first, a little sneaky himbo for Rex. You ready?
No.
Who was the only quarterback on Sunday with more incompletions than Josh Allen?
Your son.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Before the break, it was sneaky himbo time, and we asked old Rexy Ryan here this question: who was the only quarterback on Sunday with more incompletions than Josh Allen?
Look, himbo is so sneaky.
He is.
Week one, he's trying to knock me down a peg or two because he's going to say, I'm going to get him to, you know, it's his boy Daniel Jones. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's going to be Jared Goff. Because they must have thrown the ball 60 times in that game when they were coming back biting kneecaps. I'm going to say Jared Goff. And like I said, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Like I said,
Trevor Lawrence.
All along, it's Trevor Lawrence. The answer's Trevor Lawrence. 23 incompletions. I mean, that's not great. It was a very forgettable
himbo.
Sneaky himbo. Got you
again. Your week after that.
Much more on Trevor Lawrence and whether we should just go ahead and sell the Jaguars as a franchise. That's an overreaction. But let's take you to the Steelers and Bills Josh Allen here. How about T.J. Watt? That's your highest paid player on defense, RC.
That's what we do. It's Blitzburg, but we ain't even got a blitz because we got a $100 million man.
Didn't have to do any of that. Just before the half, the Bills with third and goal. Here, Allen finds Gabriel Davis for the touchdown.
Yeah, great eye discipline here. Piece to left, sees its man coverage. Great coverage. It's just a better ball by Josh Allen.
And how about the Steelers in the third quarter, though? They're marching, trying to get something on offense.
If I played receiver once in the NFL and had a rep and RC was covering me, this is what it would look like.
He'd be unconscious.
There's no way RC got mocked. He never got mocked.
I'm not worried about Dan.
So we pick it up in the fourth now. It's 10-6 Allen with a backwards pass.
Great play call.
We're going to get into this one. When you see that motion coming, those overhang defenders, you got to give your quarterback, your offense, the opportunity to get to a different play or pop a timeout.
Steelers all over him here. Roethlisberger to Deontay Johnson. What a catch. Look at that.
Tip drill. Just an awesome job of focusing on the football, seeing how it's drifting, not only making the catch, but then making sure that his feet get in bounds.
The Steelers up by three, same score. Bills forced to punt on 4th and 12. Here you go, Rex.
Bad for the brand.
Come on, how long you need back there, homeboy? Let's get that punt out.
Juju Smith-Schuster is fired up. Steelers up 10. Now it's Roethlisberger again to Claypool.
Clutch, right? Man coverage. Claypool's running away. Ball placement. Always paramount. It's the perfect throw from the Hall of Famer.
And there it is. Big Ben, 18 for 32, 188 yards, a touchdown. The Steelers go on to win 23-16. How would you describe what you saw from Pittsburgh yesterday?
It was kind of what you thought it would be, right? Okay. New offensive coordinator Matt Canada trying to get adjusted to calling plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a revamped offensive line. But you had a defense that came out and played inspired football.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing against Josh Allen. Now remember this, guys. Last year when the Steelers finished the season on a down streak, the Buffalo Bills were a part of that. The Buffalo Bills dominated this team. The Buffalo Bills embarrassed the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Cam Hayward and that defense, Micah Fitzpatrick, those guys were all over the place. Keith Butler with a great game plan. But then Ben Roethlisberger made the plays he needed to make. He looked like a dude that had been playing this game for 2 decades. He looked like a guy that has 2 Super Bowl rings. He made the important situational football plays, and that's what we have to do for this team.
I would agree with that, but I think the defense is the conversation, right? I mean, the Steelers' defense took Josh Allen, basically a fastball hitter, and gave him nothing but changeups.
Right.
And they took Brian Daboll, an incredible play caller, and threw him completely off his balance. And the defense, the way they did it was not to my expectation. First of all, 2nd and 3. RC, that safety's 20 yards deep at the snap. Now, coaches called the shot play, Josh. You are too good of a player to force this football. Your tailback's going to run for 20. Just check it down. You force it downfield. Now we get the 3rd and 3. That's not great. Another example. You get 3rd and 8. You got that kind of stacked in the slot. The read is going to be a middle seam and then a cross face by Beasley. The underneath defender's got his back turned and carrying vertical. But you are too good of a player to force this ball downfield. Beasley's going to be wide open crossing face, but you chunk it. And then the 4th and 1 play call. I don't mind a play call. But this is where the coaching showed up to me. When this cat comes in motion and you see that the corner doesn't flip the field and the safety in the corner are outside the hash, those are called overhang defenders, you have to equip your football team to go, if the guys on defense don't do what we want, you got to call timeout or give them the chance. And for someone last year that was so, Josh Allen did everything right.
But damn.
And the Bills coaching staff was so good, for them to be kind of out-dueled in those aspects surprised me.
So last year I coined a phrase, right? I said Josh Allen had arm arrogance, right? Because I felt like he made some throws and attempted some things that normal people don't do. Kind of like the way you talked about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. They came into this game with literal arrogance, right? Brian Daboll, he didn't do his work. He wasn't creative in his play calling. He didn't make the adjustments he needed to make once he saw the Pittsburgh Steelers were only going to allow changeups.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this. Josh Allen didn't feel like he needed to take that throw to Singletary. He didn't feel like he needed to take that throw underneath the Cole Beasley. You know why? Because he's made so many big throws throughout his career.
I agree.
I think this changes them this week, and they're better next week.
I was going to say, is there anything that you gleaned from that game that would tell you that the hierarchy that we assumed would be in the AFC has changed? Are you still firmly in belief that the Bills are going to be contending with the Chiefs in the end?
No, I am, for sure.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, this team, look, they got out-coached. I think we've talked about it. They were totally shocked by how Pittsburgh defended them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were. They were. Everything they did was expecting man coverage, Blitzburg, all that type of stuff.
It was a very passive strategy.
None of it.
Yeah.
And what Pittsburgh did They used everything against them. They want to extend plays. They want to do all that. How much of that did we see in that game?
Right. Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah.
So they're like, they're not going to run the football. We're going to just turn things up front.
Can I say this before we go? Kudos to Mike Tomlin.
Amen.
This is a guy that's never had a losing season. You come into this season with so many questions, and your team was prepared to play against one of the AFC top contenders.
And I've been somebody who's not been high on Pittsburgh. If their defense plays that good, they will have a chance to win every single game, and it won't be taxing on their offense.
Yeah, that might as well say, 85 Bears.
Exactly.
They play that good,
Right, because again, when it comes to the Steelers, the question is stamina. They were 11-0 last year. We know they can win in the beginning of the year. Can they win at the end?
Never.
We're now on the clock. We're all on the clock. I'm going to start with you, Dan. 30 seconds each. Here's the topic for Dan. You knew we weren't going to let you get away with it. Carson Wentz hasn't changed from last season?
No, the offensive line that he played with hasn't changed since last season. Now, Carson Wentz played good football yesterday. Was not in any way the reason that the Colts did not win. His offensive line got beat up. I mean, he played under duress, it seemed like, half of his snaps. They got whooped. He was good with the football. He valued it. He made the throws when they were needed. He took the underneath stuff when it was asked. They just could not protect long enough. And that's not an excuse. It's just the reality that they did not block well enough to allow Carson Wentz to try and make plays down the field that were going to be necessary. The Colts offensive line, their strengths, got to play better.
If you winced hard enough, it looked like you were wearing an Eagles jersey. If you just looked a little close. Okay, again, these are the
Georgia
biggest.
Broncos win.
I know, you can't tell me nothing right now. The biggest overreactions to week one. That's what's so beautiful about week one in the NFL. You can overreact, and that's exactly what we're going to do. With that, we're going to go to you and the debut of not only Trevor Lawrence, but Urban Meyer with the Jaguars. They got absolutely embarrassed by a Texans team that really doesn't have an identifiable player on it. So here's my overreaction. Urban Meyer, not cut out for the NFL.
Not, absolutely not. And that's okay. Oh. I think what we have to start to understand is it's okay to not be good enough. And Urban Meyer is not going to be a good enough NFL coach. But it's okay because he's a great college coach. And guess what? If LSU doesn't start playing better, maybe he'll be number one on their list to be the new head coach. Who knows? Jeez. But it shouldn't be in Jacksonville. This is the team that from the beginning has not been run like an NFL organization, from hiring your friends to play tight end, even though you know your friends can't play tight end, from making decisions in the coaching staff that aren't good decisions for your team. I can't even talk no more. You cut me off. I had so much more, Al.
Yeah,
he ain't ready.
Hey, I never saw that coming at all, man. Did somebody say that this was the men's league and not the kids' league? I never saw it coming. I'm shocked.
Who would have known?
Absolutely shocked.
Oh, you're not getting out of here either without overreacting
too,
as well. Exactly, Rexy. We saw another debut yesterday. It was a quiet one. Teddy Bridgewater for the Broncos. Alas, the Broncos beat the Giants. It was their biggest season opening win since 2013. And Danny Dimes does it again. He turns
not
the ball
anymore.
Over. So here's my overreaction.
You disowned him.
Here's my overreaction, Rex. It is officially time to move on from Daniel Jones.
It kills me. It kills me.
But
here's the thing.
You never answered it.
No, but
out of the last 15 games, he's ranked 34th in QBR.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes. Yeah. But the big mollies, man. Look, I'm sitting back going, look, the big mollies that Gettleman told me about 3 or 4 years ago, how he's going to build them up front, they're not there. They average 2.6 a carry. And yes, I gotta admit, my guy still can't protect the football. So I'm done with you, Daniel Jones. Just like I was done with Mark Sanchez at some point.
I'm done.
He just got some fire. He just
and I love Mark, but I'm done.
Personal.
He just got ambushed. How about that collateral insult? I love it. By the way, 40 turnovers and 18 fumbles for Daniel Jones since he entered the league in 2019.
That's not good.
Whew. Our next 30 for 30, Once Upon a Time in Queens, is a four-part series, and the first two parts premiere tomorrow, starting at 8 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. It takes an unprecedented look into the 86 Mets, their wild ride to a World Series win. Parts 3 and 4 Wednesday at 8 and 9 Eastern. But still coming up here on Get Up, why won't Matt Nagy give us more Justin Fields? He take a play from the Kirby Smart handbook? What's happening that didn't work well? Plus, First Take is coming up next. How bad did Aaron Rodgers look? And was Cleveland's performance against Kansas City encouraging or discouraging? Stephen A. Smith will debate Michael Irvin at 10 Eastern right here on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. El Duncan, Dan Orlovsky, RC, Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan in the building. Let's get you some Bears and Rams action. Andy Dalton getting the start. Justin Fields getting a little action early on. Much to the delight of the crowd, maybe not to the delight of Dan Orlovsky, who felt like this was just performative, but here he is to Marquise Goodwin.
They bring him in, get a quick little RPO. I want him to go stay on the field on third down.
No.
We just got a great completion, but they bring Andy Dalton back in. This ball's too flat. It's too low. RC knows it. Red zone, it's got to be up high. Tips equal touchdown or interceptions.
And there it is, the Rams ball, a long interception by David Long. Ensuing Rams drive, you give it back to Matthew Stafford making his debut. And how about this to Van Jefferson?
You just dial him up. You just dial it up for one of the most talented arm quarterbacks in the league.
NBD.
We're going to break it down, and it's a great awareness by the young player to OG's son to go score.
Jim Harbaugh's going to make that tackle, number four there.
There it goes. Jump to the third quarter. Stafford to Cooper Kupp, a 56-yard touch. This guy's got a cannon.
Yeah, we're going to break this one down as well. A lot of people think it's a blown coverage. I see it differently. I can't wait to see exactly what Sean McVay designed and then what Stafford executed.
And then Justin Fields is back on the field to do this, get a touchdown. So, you know, leave him in, right?
I just wonder if you can use this in the field.
The answer is no. Yeah. You've got to play him to do that.
Yeah. I wonder if you could use it more.
But alas, the debut would not be spoiled for Matt Stafford. He finds Robert Woods here. Nice performance from him. 20 for 26, 321 yards, three touchdowns. And the Rams win Stafford's debut. So, Rex, is it time for Chicago to officially say enough? Justin Fields is our starter.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And if you don't think it is, if you're a coach and you don't think this young man's ready, it's your own dang fault. Look in the mirror. It's your fault. It's nobody else's, man. This guy, the organization did a great job in moving up, finding a way to get this special talent. Let's use him. What are you waiting for, this defense to age even more so?
Right.
I don't know. The only chance you got to win is to put this cat in. Andy Dalton, bless his heart, he's a good football player, but he's not special. Fields has a chance to be special. Put him in for goodness sake.
Hell, you from the South. You already know. When somebody tell you bless your heart, it's ball
bless
over.
It's over. It's done. Bless your heart. Is that too much responsibility, though? Because at the end of the day, we thought all the Bears really needed was a competent game manager based on that Bears defense. They looked absolutely awful. Is it fair to say Justin Fields is their only hope of winning, so let's just throw him out there and see?
Well, I don't necessarily know if Justin Fields is their only hope of winning. I think Justin Fields is their best option to win.
Okay.
And that's your job as the coach. The coach's job is to pick the players that gives you the greatest opportunity of success. And I believe Justin Fields does that for this team.
Look, I've started rookie quarterbacks. I mean, it doesn't – just because you're a rookie quarterback, and I get it. Most guys fail, okay? Mm-hmm. I get that, all right? But as a guy that's actually played rookies to – you know, start a year, your job's to get them ready. And is there ways to protect them a little bit if you're worried about the timing of the NFL game? Yes, it's to run the football.
Yeah.
They actually ran the ball pretty decent yesterday.
Was awesome last night.
Yeah, and so now you put that in there with a special, you know, talent at quarterback, you might have a chance. And Matt Nagy, look, I've been all over this cat. He's not a bad football coach, but he drives me crazy with some of the decisions he makes. And so to me, you know, by putting the guy under the bus or whatever with Trubisky, now going right here, you know, with this decision not to play Justin Fields, when every single person in Chicago other than you thinks he should be our quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, Andy Dalton said as much. They promised me when I came here that I would be the starter.
And why would he say that out loud?
What do we base that on? How good Andy Dalton played with Dallas? He was horrible last year. And Andy Dalton's played a lot better football than he played in Dallas last year.
Turkey
and,
bacon.
I mean, golly, I don't get
You're
it.
Saying he's choosing turkey bacon instead of the real thing.
Choosing turkey bacon. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that unless it's for health.
Dan Orlovsky does that.
Yeah, I will say this. Does.
He definitely does that. I will say, though, that Dan said something. He's been telling us all summer that Matthew Stafford was going to absolutely light this thing up in L.A. How do you think he fared in his debut, Dan?
Well, please start referring to him as MVP Matthew Stafford for the 2021 NFL season. The conversation was, what is Matthew Stafford going to do for this offense and what is it going to look like? Well, Sean McVay is going to go, hey, I'm going to formation stuff in our play-action movement game. I need a quarterback that can go hit those bomb touchdowns. So you see the condensed split by these wide receivers, okay? RC knows when you do that, it forces the defense to do something. It creates a quarters coverage by the defense. These safeties have a quarter of the field. That is their responsibility. You cut the field in quarters, no one gets deeper than you. And Sean McVay as a coach is going to go, hey, I'll take care of them, okay? So what you're going to see, we've seen it so much for this offense. There goes that movement game, right? The movement game where the offensive line is running full speed that way, and you're going to take your quarterback, and here comes that movement. So you're going to sell everything one way, and here comes our bootleg game. Now, RC knows in quarters defense, what you want to do is get this receiver to show like he's going to be running a crossing route. Because in quarters, that's that safety's responsibility. If he's running a crossing route and the quarterback is moving that way, I got to go cut that crosser. So Sean McVay's going to go, I'm actually not going to make him run across the field. I'm going to have him sit right there, right in front of that safety's vision. So I've taken care of step number one, that safety. Number two, I need a receiver that's going to be vertical enough to cross or push that safety, and they'll go back across the field to all that space I've created. Step number two, Sean McVay is a coach. I've done that. And number three, I need a quarterback that can flip his hips and throw a 55-yard bomb to space for an absolute touchdown. That's the difference in their movement game that Matthew Stafford's going to do. Great job by the OG Sean Jefferson's son to show awareness in that. Now, step number two is, well, what if the play-action game isn't there? Process second is, can you do the drop-back game? You're going to see a very similar coverage. This time it's going to be cover six. RC knows it. That safety, instead of having a quarter of the field, has a half of the field, okay? There's going to be a cover two corner here. This safety still has a quarter of the field. You see a condensed split by those wide receivers again, okay? Now Sean McVay's going to go, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to push Cooper Kupp, our slot, down the field. Now I'm going to take this receiver and do a very similar route where I'm going to push him vertical with this safety having vision on our quarterback. That safety's looking at Matthew Stafford. I'm going to push him vertical, have that receiver sit right in front of that safety because it's his responsibility to cover that area. Now, everyone pay attention to Matthew Stafford, right? Two things here. One, when he steps, you're going to see a little just this with his shoulders. And then watch how committed he is to staring at that route to the left. He is going to go, look at Matthew Stafford is going to get parallel to the line of scrimmage here. Watch, one, two. His body is almost parallel facing that way. He's telling the defense, I am committed to throwing that ball to the left. I'm committed to throwing that ball. This safety's got no option. He's got to sit. And then he has the arm strength and ability to put the ball over the top for a touchdown. That's not a blown coverage. That's coach going, I'm going to design a beater. And that's a quarterback going, I know exactly what I have to do to get that safety to do exactly what I want. Touchdown. What's the offense going to look like? Bombs away.
Definitely going to have to get a little bit more than one-dimensional, though, right?
Running
game, a huge issue. Well, they didn't run the ball well at all. That is something they're going to want to do. Tomorrow on ESPN2 in the app, we'll have the League's Cup semifinal between the Seattle Sounders and Santos at 10 Eastern. The winners will play in the final Wednesday, September 22nd in Las Vegas. For all your soccer needs, remember, ESPN FC's on ESPN Plus every day. First Take is coming up next. How bad did Aaron Rodgers look? And was Cleveland's performance against Kansas City encouraging or discouraging? Stephen A. Smith will debate Michael Irvin. Looking forward to that at 10 Eastern right here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. Only T-Mobile keeps you connected to the gridiron with nationwide 5G coverage, no matter where you tailgate. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G. Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. How about this little eye candy? From one Kyler Murray, we went this whole show and didn't talk about what the Cardinals did.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. His athleticism here on full display. Ooh.
Look at this.
Watch this.
And hey, Dano, if you're talking about MVPs, let's start with this
guy,
too.
There we go. Yeah.
Kyler Murray right now. Are you kidding me? Hey, this is what we're talking about, this run gun or red gun and all that. This is a player right here.
A freak of a player.
Michael Vick couldn't do it. That's who he reminds me of. Right here. Michael Vick. I'm telling you. I'll say it. Mike Vick?
We'll be watching this too. Monday Night Football tonight. It's Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in Vegas to take on the Raiders. They're officially opening up on Allegiant Stadium. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick will get you set. Let's do our picks now. I will start with you, Coach. Who you got tonight between the Raiders and Ravens?
Two things here. I've got the Baltimore Ravens. I believe in their coaching staff. I believe in their organization. So, of course, I have. And I also believe in organized chaos. Please watch my podcast with Bart Scott. Thank you very much.
All right. I love that shout out for sure. Shameless plug. RC, who you got?
I'm going with the Ravens. Listen, honestly, the Ravens have some issues right now. You've lost some players. I believe in Lamar Jackson. I think that Lamar Jackson is going to play extremely well this season, and it starts tonight. And this is the team that can still play great defense. Watch Mark Andrews. Watch Lamar Jackson. Going to be a good night for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens. I think Calais Campbell will be the best player on the field tonight. The Raiders, I believe, are going to start four new offensive linemen that used to be a really good group last year.
Yeah.
I do not believe it's going to be a group this year, and I don't think a good one, and Richie Incognito is not going to play tonight. The Ravens defensive line will dominate this football game. The Ravens win.
Did you hear how flippantly RC was like, they lost a few players. They lost 80% of their running game, and that's what the Ravens do. So I'm picking the Raiders.
No, you're not.
Yes,
no,
I am.
Not.
I'm picking the Raiders because they've been decimated with injury. They have
their
not had an opportunity to work with their
running.
He hasn't had a chance to work with his receivers, and outside of that, the intangibles aside, they're opening up Allegiant Stadium. Like,
they're not going to lose that game.
Okay.
We'll see.
The good news is I'm not hosting tomorrow, so if I'm wrong, I'll just disappear into the ether, and you won't be able to find me.
Good job today, Elle.
Yes, thank
you. Great job.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for letting me lose that.
Bye.
Take is next.